Sunday, Chaf Vav Elul, Rabbi Mordechai Hyman, prepare to be prepared for Rosh Hashanah.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank the Torah Way for approaching me and asking me to speak. And hopefully, I don't know if I can be mechadish anything new, but at least I can wrap it up and deliver it and can incorporate it accordingly. Second of all, my general style of share is interactive, but I was told that because it's going to be recorded, it could be distracting for those who are listening, because you know they hear voices from around the Beis HaMedrash and they will be able to follow nicely. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to begin with the Dvar Halacha, and then we're going to move on and share some ideas about Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaNoraim. So as we know, two very important aspects that are involved in now in Elul, in Tishri, it's beginning with Tishri, the two main things, one is blowing the shofar and doing silichas. Shofar we've been blowing since beginning of Elul, every day after Shacharis. Some places I've heard in some shuls they actually blow after Maariv every day also. And then we do Slichas, which we're starting today, as I started right at the beginning of Elul. However, Slichas, as we know, is something 1,000 years old. It's not anything recent. And this was already the minhag of Surya and Pumbedisa, the big yeshivas the Gemara speaks about. They began this idea of Slichas. So we're going to discuss a little bit about the Slichas and about the Shofar. Sefer Teres Zekenim, which was written by Rabbeinu Don Yitzchak, the Abar Benel, 500 years ago, he mentions the reason why we daven Slichas 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. That's a minhag which has been accepted in a lot of places. Why 4 days before Rosh Hashanah? Why not a week, 2 weeks, a day? Why 4 days before? So he says, he quotes the Pasuk in Parshas Pinchas, Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Beis, talking about the different korbanos that you bring. So as many of the korbanos of the chagim, of the Yom Tovim, it says, v'hikraftem oila l'Hashem. You should bring a oila l'rech nechoyach l'Hashem. However, with Rosh Hashanah, when it's talking about the korbanos, it's talking about v'asisem, it says, v'asisem oila l'rech nechoyach l'Hashem. You should do a oila for a nice rech to Hashem. The question is, why Rosh Hashanah is va'asisem oila? You should make an oila. Whilst on most other Yom Tovim, it says, v'hikraftem, and you shall sacrifice the oila. So the medayik from here, as follows. The Torah is hinting to us something that we have to do personally. We have to sacrifice ourselves as an oila. We have to be as an oila to Hashem. That's how the Rabbeinu Elazar Badaik, the Pasuk. And just like with an animal, 4 days before you actually shecht it, before you sacrifice it, you have to make sure no mum forms. Same with us, people. 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, we begin Slichas, we have to check ourselves. Some people have a minhag to fast these 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. That is the idea that we take up from the Pasuk of Va'asisem Oila Hashem, that we should make ourselves into Oila for Hashem. That's as far as Slichas. As far as Shofar is concerned, let's talk a little bit about the background of Shofar. So we did Slichas, so we're going to do the background of Shofar. So there's many quotations, many quotes on this. Let's just take the Sefer Tamei HaMinhagim. He brings a tour in Simon Tof Kuf Pei Aleph, in the name of the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. And he explains the reason why we begin blowing shofar in Rosh Chodesh Elul. One of the reasons is because Rosh Chodesh Elul, that was when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heights. He went up to heaven, or he elevated himself to heaven in order to retrieve the Luchos Hasheni, the second Luchos. The first Luchos got smashed after the eagle, the son of the golden calf. On the first of Elul, he went up, elevated himself to retrieve the second Luchos from heaven. At that time, there were Ma'avir Shofar in the camps, they took a Shofar, they blew a Shofar, and that is, with that, he went up to heaven, and it's brought down in the Midrashim that actually caused Hashem to ascend to his heights also. that shofar blow caused Hashem to raise to his height. And that was how he went up to Shemayim. And to commemorate that, Chazal established that every year, from the start of Elul, we should blow shofar ourselves, for a few reasons, to teach and to warn Bnei Yisrael, to do teshuvah, and prepare themselves for Yom HaNoroim. That's the Sefer Tamim and Hogim, why we blow shofar. Commemorating Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're using that for all the generations to bring ourselves up a level, to elevate ourselves in preparation to Yom HaNoroim. Rambam, Perek Gimel, Hilchos Teshuva, Halacha Dalad, he says it's a Gezeiras HaKosef. I'm not going to go into it that now. It's a Gezeiras HaKosef to blow shofar. The remez is Uru Yesheinim Mishanaschem. Awake those sleepers from the slumber. It's interesting which sleepers, which slumber. So we may die from there. It's referring to an Elul when we blow shofar to awaken ourselves. Now we're going to go into a few of the Mefarshim that actually explain in more depth exactly what effect shofar has on us. Sefer Kata Kemach of the Rabbeinu Bechaye. It's all on a paper here. Should be most of it on a paper. He explains the reason for this mitzvah. It's to awaken the heart. That's what he says. To awaken the heart. The sound of a shofar blast startles a person. It awakens a person. It arouses him. Stimulates him. And the shofar blast is so powerful, like it's capable of making a person feel sad or even fearful. And that is why, according to Sefer Kata Kemach, in the Ribbon Rechai, we blow shofar. To awaken ourselves, to arouse ourselves, to stimulate ourselves, and to make ourselves fearful towards Yom HaDin, Yom HaNoroim. Sefer Chinuch in Mitzvah Taf Hei says, the sound of a shofar, similar again, it alarms the heart. It's just expressions of the effect shofar has on us, alarms the heart of the listeners. Particularly the truer sound. It resounds like a broken sort of sound. So it wrenches the heart. That's the power of the shofar. It reminds a person, just like the truer, it's that broken sort of sound, that broken sort of that blast, that wrenches out our heart, as it should do. The same with us, we should wrench out from ourselves the bad impulses, the evil inclination, the yetzer hara. Break one longing for desires of lust and worldly matters. That is the idea of the teruah blast, to give us a shaking. And the Sefer Chinuch finishes off, every person, according to what his eyes see and his ears hear, will prepare his heart to understand and identify the various matters that affect him and that he needs to address in preparation to Rosh Hashanah. So that is the just hakidoma of this shay. It's the salichas that we've done ready for 1,000 years. We're doing that to bring ourselves up, to awaken ourselves, to prepare ourselves, to remind us to prepare ourselves for Rosh Hashanah. We mentioned the possibility of craftem oila, but by Rosh Hashanah says va'asisem oila, and that is why we do selichas, to prepare ourselves, to prepare ourselves as a korban oila. And then we have shofar. We explained a few reasons why we blow shofar. It has an effect on the heart, and it encourages us to build ourselves up and work on our bad midos, whether we have to be ready for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Noroi. Now, we're going to move on from here. That's our done. We're going to move on and we're going to speak about the whole idea, the whole concept of shofar. We'll start with the question, what does shofar itself resemble? We have a shofar, what itself does it resemble? We know about the sounds, the effect that the sounds of the shofar have, but what does shofar itself resemble? Like, could I blow any shofar? Is there any particular shofar I need to blow? Can I blow any shofar? The idea is there should be blasts from horns, however, whatever. So this we're going to go, it's going to be, this is a halacha aspect of the shir. Sechtes Rosh Hashanah, Perek Gimel, we're going to do Mishnah, it's the Gemara, and Perek Gimel, Mishnah Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and Hei. And the Gemara is actually found on Daf Chof Vav, Omid Aleph, and on Omid Beis, in Rosh Hashanah. It talks about the instrument that is blown on Rosh Hashanah, the instrument. The main man, the Omrim, the Rabbonim that involved here in the Gemara are Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Levi. So we'll start with Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Beis says, Kol HaShofros Kesherim, all Shofros are kosher, obviously for Rosh Hashanah, Chutz Misha Parah, with the exception of that from a parah, from a cow. It's not only a cow, it's also a bull. Why? Mipnei Shehu Keren, because it's a keren, it's a horn. So Mefarshim explain that of a cow or of a horn is solid bone. When you think about a horn, you think about the hollowness of it. You can blow through it. However, with a keren of a show, a horn of a show or a cow, it's solid. Solid inside. One of the reasons. And that is why that's not fit for shofar, obviously. The Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi says, Haloi kol ha-shofar is nikro keren. Aren't all shofars called keren? You're saying, we haven't yet actually spilled the beans a little bit already. We're not supposed to know that the keren is solid. We're not supposed to know that yet, okay? I've spilled the beans. But Rabbi Yossi says, Haloi kol ha-shofar is keren. Aren't all shofars a horn? You said that kol ha-shofar is gesherim, chutz mishapara, because it's a keren. Aren't all horns called keren? What should be a difference? Why are we excluding para and shor? They're called a horn. So he quotes in Nach Perik Vav Posakei. There it talks about the conquest of Yericho, and it says Yeshua commanded the men of war to surround the city. The Yidden had to surround the city of Yericho, and on the seventh day they went around it seven times. The Kohanim took Shofres HaYovelos, nothing to do with the Yovel every 49-50 years. Shofres HaYovelos, the Yovelos here refers to the ram shofers, and the Kohanim blew them. It says, Shofres HaYovelim. So bear that in mind, Shofres HaYovelim. In the following pasuk, it says, V'hoyo b'mshoich, b'keren HaYovel, k'shomachem, it's Kohen HaShofer, it shall be upon an extended blast, when you have this extended blast, upon that, which was done with a keren hayovel, that was done with a ram's horn, when you hear the kohen hashofar, the sound of the shofar, everybody should cry out, make a great cry, and the wall of the city will drop down into its place, and then people should advance, the yidden should advance into Yericho. So, we see the pasuk uses v'hoyo b'mshoich b'keren hayovel, when you're blowing on the shofar blast bekeren hayovel with the horn of a ram keren, and then it says in the pasuk when you hear the kohen hashofar, when you hear the sound of the shofar, so we see keren and shofar ultimately are one thing, the same thing. We see the pasuk doesn't differentiate between shofres hayovelim, the ram's shofars, and the keren hayovel, which is the ram's horn. There's no difference. They're both the same thing. And then the pasuk finishes off and says, when you hear the Kohen HaShofar, then we must cry out. And then the wall will collapse and we'll advance. So we see again, it's Keren HaShofar, Keren HaYovlos, Shofres HaYovlim, all these is one aspect. The Keren, the Shofar, they're all one thing. So on this, there's no proof that you can't use a horn of a cow or a bull, because Keren, Shofar is also called a keren. A shofar of a ram, any kind of horn is called a keren. And according to what we've just seen in Pasuk now in Yeshua, every kind of horn of any animal is called a keren and shofar. So why? It's not enough of a proof from here that you can't use a horn of a bull. Are we clear with that? Yeah. So we see what is one thing: the keren hashofar and the keren hayovlis and the keren hashofres, the keren hashofar, they're all one thing. We leave that Mishnah at the time being on the back burner. We go down to the Mishnah Gimel, and it discusses this Mishnah discusses how the blowing of the shofar looked in the Beis Hamikdash. How it looked in Rosh Hashanah when they blew in the Beis Hamikdash the shofaris. Says the Mishnah, shofar of Rosh Hashanah, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, shel Ya'el, was of a Ya'el, poshut, straight, or piv, with mitzupah zahav, just below the mouthpiece, it was coated with gold. And you have the two trumpeters standing on the right and left of the man with the shofar. And then what happens? Hashofar marich, the sound of the shofar lengthens. And the chatzotzis mekapsris. But the chatzotzis, the trumpets, they are mekapsris. They're short. And the Mishnah says, the reason why is because shemitzvah hayoyim b'shofar. Because ultimately the mitzvah of the day on Rosh Hashanah is the shofar. Again, so in the Beis HaMikdash, they had the shofar, the Baal Tekeah of the shofar standing in the middle, and on either side he had the trumpeters, and they blew the shofar and the trumpets together, and the trumpets were short-lived, and the shofar, the sound of the shofar continued on. Why? To tell you, because the mitzvah of the Yom is with the shofar. That's why it's Marich. That's why we were lengthened with the sound of the shofar. Okay, we'll leave that Mishnah again. We're going to come back to all this in a minute. So, but the point we have to take out from this Mishnah is shofar shereish Hashanah shel Ya'il. The shofar that has to be blown on Rosh Hashanah, not a ram one, but a yal of an antelope. That's what it says in the Mishnah, shel Ya'il, of an antelope. It's poshut, means it's straight, it's not windy. See, the antelope's horns are usually the tall, thin, and narrow. Mishnah 4, Mishnah Dalet. The following Mishnah discuss how shofar blown looked on the fast days in the Beis HaMikdash. So there, Betanios, in the days of Tanis, Bishal Zechorim, Kefufim, they blew shofar with the horn of males. What does that mean? Obviously, he's talking about the rams. Those of males, the ram's horn, because the ram is a he-sheep. Or PM Mitzupa Kesef, and the just below the mouthpiece, it was coated in silver, not in gold, in silver. The two trumpeters were standing in the middle, and the shofar on the side. Why? Because on Tanis, the main thing to blow on the day of Tanis is trumpets, not the shofar. That's why the chatzotzos were in the middle, and I guess the sound was obviously longer than the shofar, because the mitzvah of the day is with trumpets. Again, so we've seen here, on Rosh Hashanah shel Ya'il Poshet, of the straight kind of horn, that of an antelope, and on the days of Tanis, we blow shofar with Zechorim, with horns of Zechorim, of rams, the windy ones. We're going to go down to Mishnah Hey. It says, Shava HaYovel L'Rosh Hashanah B'Tekiah. The shofar blow of Yovel was similar to that shofar blow or blowing on Rosh Hashanah, and was equal, also similar to its brachas. That was how it was. So you have it's a 49th year, it's Yovel, and the blue shofar. What happened on Yovel? The day of Yom Kippur was another Rosh Hashanah. The day of Yom Kippur, they did Malchus Achronis Shofaris and the blue shofar. So Shava HaYovel L'Rosh Hashanah B'Tekiah. And it says in a Mishnah that the Yovel day, the Yom Kippur of Yovel, there it was similar to Rosh Hashanah. So if Rosh Hashanah were used those straight horns, those of the antelope, so on Yovel, the Yom Kippur of Yovel, they used the antelope's horns, the straight narrow ones. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rosh Hashanah, Tokim B'Shal Zechorim, Rabbi Yehuda argues. Rabbi Yehuda says no. On Rosh Hashanah, you should blow with Zechorim, with those ram's horn, the windy horn. Or beYovel b'shal Ya'elim. But on Yovel, the Yom Kippur of Yovel, when would like a second Rosh Hashanah, there you use that of the Ya'elim, of the antelopes. So we can see there's a discussion and a debate here in Halacha. Do we use on Rosh Hashanah the Ya'el Poshut, the tall, narrow, straight horns of an antelope? And on Yom Kippur, we use the windy shofars? Or no? On Rosh Hashanah, we use the windy shofars, that of the Zechorim, of a ram. And on Yovel, we use the straight, narrow ones of the antelope. So the question is, we're not going to go into it now, why is Yom Kippur, Yovel, what is the connection between the Yovel of the Yom Kippur of the Yovel year and that similar to Rosh Hashanah in the blowing of the shofar and saying Malchus Achronis and Shofaris? It's a Gezeirah Shava. We learn now from Shvi. It's got an apostle twice, 7th to 7th. We're not going to go into now. It's a Gezeirah Shava. You can look in the Sugya. It's Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel on base and Lamed Aleph Balaf. We're not going to go into that. It's not the main part of our share here, of our drasha. But we see from it basically there is a discussion, there's a debate about what do we use on Rosh Hashanah and what do we use on Yom Kippur. Okay. So let's go on in the Gemara. Gemara is found in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Vav Amud Beis, and I'll read you the text. Amar Reb Levi, mitzvah shel Rosh Hashanah shel Yom Kippurim bekufufin. Reb Levi says the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah and of Yom Kippur bekufufim with the bent ones, those of the rams, which shall call Hashanah bepeshutim. The rest of the year would be fast days, whatever else it is, should be with the straight ones, sort of like the antelopes ones. Now we learned another Mishnah, Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah Shel Ya'el Poshut. We learned another Mishnah that says that on Rosh Hashanah we use those straight horns, that of the antelope. So the Gemara goes on. and then comes back and explains what's going on here. The Gemara explains the essence of our sugya is actually a debate about how one should present themselves on Yosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So it's a shofar, it's a straight shofar, that of the antelope, the bent one, that of the ram. The Gemara goes on in discussion, but we're going to leave a space and we're going to go down how the Gemara sort of wraps it up. The Gemara experience says the essence of the sugya is actually a debate. What about how one should present themselves? How we should present ourselves to Hashem during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? And that, depending how we should present ourselves, would make a difference what kind of shofar we would use. So, the question is: on Rosh Hashanah, do we daven bent over, as if we're carrying a heavy sack of averus, or do we bend in supplication to Hashem, begging Hashem to forgive us and giving us another chance? Or do we daven to Hashem like an eved lifnei rabbi, like a servant before his master? It's a takeh minhag. Some people in Rosh Hashanah daven bent over. So this is a query. So if the davening is supposed to be bent over, then it only makes sense to use a shofar that is bent. And therefore would blow bekefufim with the bent shofar. That's a ram shofar. Or something similar to that. Let's talk about the ram shofar, makes it easier. Alternatively, if you look at it from a different perspective, maybe we should use the horn of a yael poshut, of the straight horn. The straighter the horn, the better. It's like a goat, let's say, a straight horn. But reach up, reaching high to Hashem. We want kirvas Hashem isbarach Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, we want kirvas Hashem, we want to be close to Hashem. Instead of bending ourselves over, we should stand up straight. We want kirvas Hashem, we want to come close to you, Hashem. So the Gemara, the Rishonim, the Achronim, they all talk about this. It's quite a debate. We're going to go on to the Tosfos, the Rashi and Tosfos on Daf Chof Vav and Beis. He brings a pesukim from Nach, Melachim 1, Perek 9, Perek Tes, Pasuk Gimel. It's talking about when Shlomo HaMelech and Chiram completed building the Beis HaMikdash, first Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech davened the long tefillah to Hashem, he blessed Bnei Yisrael, gave a big bracha to Hashem, and afterwards Hashem appeared to Shlomo and said, Shlomo HaMelech, I've accepted your tefillah, and yes, I'm going to behoya einai velibi shom kol hayom. Hashem said to Shlomo HaMelech, my eyes and my heart will be there in the Beis HaMikdash all the days. So, don't worry, I've accepted tefillah. But what we see from here, v'hoyo einai v'libi shom kol hayomim, we see that the Beis HaMikdash, for Hashem is there, Hashem's eyes, Hashem's heart is there, then we need to treat the Beis HaMikdash very differently. It's a mokum kodesh. Hashem is there. Which means, when we enter the Beis HaMikdash, we have to do it with decency, with anova, uncovered, be subdued to Hashem. That's if you go according to this. Similarly, what I say could apply to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, we're entering Yom HaDin. We're entering the back garden of Hashem. Hashem's coming down to us. Either way, however you want to look at it, we're working to come closer to Hashem. Therefore, we should be bechavod. We should be ba'anova, because you know we are coming close to Hashem. Should be subdued. Hashem is over here. However, it works out in the Gemara. Both Reb Levi and Reb Yehuda agree that on Rosh Hashanah we use the kufufim, the bent shofar, and there's a statement: kamot the kaif inishtate tefei ma'aliyah. However much a person is able to demand and force himself, force his mind, force his heart in davening on Rosh Hashanah, he should do it. So the more he can demand of himself, the more he should do. This is the way the Mefarshim speak out. This is a sign. This displays humility. And that's why it makes sense on Rosh Hashanah, when we're trying to force the best out of ourselves, we'd be bent over and giving. So it's not reaching up high, it's trying to get out from ourselves the most we could in davening to Hashem. However, Yom Kippur may well be different, because Yom Kippur, that is Kapara, and that's when Hashem's forgiven us all our averus, and we can be more erect, we can be more positive, we can be more confident. Hashem has forgiven us. Now we're going to work on Kirvas Hashem. Now we're going to work on coming close and strive upwards towards Hashem. So indeed, l'halacha, we actually pasken that we use the ram's horn on Rosh Hashanah and also on Yom Kippur, because ultimately both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are days of davening, when we're not yet talking about Kirvas Hashem, we're talking about being we're talking about giving ourselves over to Hashem as a servant to Hashem. And however, not everybody does use a ram shofar on Rosh Hashanah. You can use a straight shofar. It's just better. It's a mitzvah in Hamuvcha. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's a much better mitzvah to blow with a round one, because also the ram's shofar reminds us of the Akedah, which is a very important aspect. It reminds Hashem to have pity on us. So I don't know if I have to go into all the details of this. Time's running out. I'm conscious of the time. But so basically, halacha, it's best to use a ram shofar. There are alternatives when you have difficult situations, when you could use a straight one. For sure, tommy animals you don't use. The question is whether we can use straight ones also, and it's accepted that we do use both, I think, a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You have to ask a local Orthodox rabbi. I don't know. So now I'm going to move on to maybe the hashkafic aspect of shofar. So we spoke about shofar being an aspect of preparation, preparing ourselves. We use a certain kind of shofar. We do selichas. We've spoken about all that. So I want to use a few ideas. I've got a few moments left. I've got much longer to go, but we'll have to cut it short. We have just a few ideas from experience, from what I've seen, that preparation plays a very important aspect, and sometimes a lack thereof preparation could have a very negative effect. So I've got time maybe for two different ideas, and we'll see how we can wrap it all up. So one of the first-hand experiences that I had happened in a school. I've taught in various different schools over the last years. So one of the schools I taught in was amazing. No, it wasn't the ultra-Orthodox or the Haredi kind of school. So we had to really prepare the children in a very good way for Tisha B'Av. So the whole preparation process started about 5 weeks before Tisha B'Av, when we sent out the emails to their parents. We told them we told the children what's going to be expected, and we tell the staff at school what's going to be happening from 5 weeks from now, and that we become more subdued over the 3 weeks running up to Tisha B'Av, and how on Tisha B'Av itself there's no fun. You know, we're crying about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and of Am Yisrael, then Eretz Yisrael. So this was the process: 5 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 weeks. They kept on reminding them and then updating the children, updating the parents in email, what we're going to do, what's the plan for Tisha B'Av, how we're going to do about it. And it was all very good. The children were taken to it. However, until disaster struck, the higher ups decided to make the annual sports day the day before Tisha B'Av. This is our work for 4 weeks, 5 weeks before Tisha B'Av, to get them in that mode, and then sports day, hey, day before Tisha B'Av. Okay. It happens in the best of places. So we all thought, like, that's it. All our investment is out of the window. All the kids are going to be hyped, they're going to be excited, they're going to come tomorrow. Tisha B'Av, ach. But an amazing thing happened. Came Tisha B'Av morning, and the kids came in the way they should. They were relaxed. They were, to an extent, subdued. They came with the Crocs or the trainers, whoever they came in. And it was quite amazing to see, actually, it didn't have too much of a negative effect on them. I don't know how I would have looked without the sports day the day before. It could have been even better. I don't know. But actually, they came in well in the right way. And then, so we could see that this was preparing them in advance those weeks before. And then on the day of Tisha B'Av, we have a whole schedule also, in order to encourage the kids to identify and understand and appreciate what happened, what we're missing. And so we started school an hour later, and we had assembly. Instead of assembly being upstairs, was downstairs in the dining room. And instead of having music, obviously, to start off the assemblies, we just sang a very slow, quiet, subdued tune as the children were coming into assembly. That's how we prepared. From the came, all sat down, sat on in different places. We all sat on the floor. All the staff who were present at the assembly sat on the floor. All this was to prepare them what they're about to see, what and to experience Tisha B'Av the way they should. And then we showed them a PowerPoint presentation of the pictures of how it might have looked in the Beis HaMikdash. And it was going very smooth. And they left the assembly, no unruly, everyone was well behaved, and as they finished davening, the head teacher, the head of Jewish studies, told the children that you should know that a lot of your teachers may be fasting today. It's Tisha B'Av, so I want you all to behave the best you could possibly do. And let's say there was hardly, if any, problems that day in school. The kids were all very well behaved. It was amazing. So I don't have any way of measuring what extent our preparations in advance to Tisha B'Av actually affected them. But the truth of the matter was, the day was a different day, and the kids came out, and it was even sports day the day before, and the kids didn't affect the kids too badly. So we can see that aspect of preparation. We need to prepare ourselves. We've got Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, to prepare ourselves correctly, and we can actually handle and manage everything. I'm going to give you an extreme example of somebody, unfortunately, who was not well prepared. Baruch Hashem, the effects was not devastating, but it was bad effect on this poor person. It was a child. I actually met him onto the family simcha, and I asked him once, why do you have your open house on Shabbos? You have one meal on Shabbos that anybody wants can come for a Shabbos meal. Doesn't that have effect on your children, on your family? Shabbos is a time, yes, you have guests, but every single week, you just have throngs of people coming in from all over the place. So he said to me, okay, if you want, I can tell you. I'll tell you why I do this. So he said many years ago, he was a young boy, he came from out of town, not only out of town, from one of the England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, you know, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. He came from further afield, and he came to a boarding school, a Jewish Heimische boarding school. And he came there, he was a Yosem, unfortunately, and he didn't know where to go. He didn't have much connection in this town, in this city where he came to, in England. And he said, now every single day, every single week, from Sunday, from Shabbos, he was already thinking, where am I going to go next week, Shabbos? Who's going to invite me next week, Shabbos? Who knows me here? Does anybody care about me? And he said, it affected him every single week. The same thought process went through his mind. What's going to happen? What am I going to eat? Am I going to starve? They didn't serve Shabbos meals, obviously, in this boarding school. It's driving him to insanity. So he decided, one day he stood up and he said, Damat Hashem, Hashem, please, Hashem, if you make sure that I have a place for Shabbos every single week that I'm here, then Beth Hashem, when I grow up and I'll be having my own family, I'll have an open home for Shabbos meal. That is what happened, and that's how he has an open home for a Shabbos meal on Shabbos, because of what happened when he was a youngster. So it wasn't, the effect was not devastating. I mean, he could have taken upon himself Nedorim and, you know, promises. It was a little bit unprepared, to say the least, to what he expected in this city. So again, you see the aspect of a lack of preparation over here. So I'm going to wrap it up here because we're up to time. To tie it all together, we've spoken about the slichas that prepares ourselves for Rosh Hashanah, preparing ourselves to be an oila to Hashem as a sacrifice. I see some oila instead of he crafted oila. That's why we do slichas, to prepare ourselves those 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, preparation. And then we have shofar that we've been blowing since the beginning of Elul. We discussed the various different kinds of shofars, the winded one of the ram, the straight one of the antelope, or the likes. And we could say, we can use the idea of preparation over here. The fact that we're using a ram's horn or an antelope's horn is having an effect on us. We must be bent. We must be bent to Hashem. We must be the craft of oila. We actually make an oila sacrifice out of ourselves. That's all an aspect of preparation, a winded shofar. Kevet lifnei rabbi, like a servant before Hashem. Or the straight shofar, which we discussed, which we don't lechatchila use, is that we're going for kirvas Hashem, for closeness to Hashem. But that's the idea of preparation. We're using those things to prepare us accordingly. With that, I'd like to conclude. Bes Hashem, maybe bizocha, to prepare ourselves accordingly for Rosh Hashanah, Yemei Yom and Noroyim. We have Rosh Hashanah, the service made Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, and then finally Sukkos. When sitting under Sechach, this everyone knows the Medrash, the Gemara Sukkah, the Samach is a complete heart from Hashem. The Kaf is like three walls of the Sukkah. The Hay is like another kind of form of closeness Hashem is communicating to us. Maybe be zeicher to go through Rosh Hashanah and the service made Teshuvah and Yom Kippur, well prepared, aiming for Kirvas Hashem, and be zeicher to sit in the Sukkah on Sukkos, and Bez Hashem in the Sukkah of the Levyoson. When Mashiach comes, Meher v'yameinu, Amen.